Ladies and gentlemen, suck it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Question is, did the good folks who were at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa see me the other night? I'll tell you what I mean by that here in just a minute. If you listen to our Sunday night show, you may know where I'm going to go with that. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show as we once again come to you live as we can be on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me, of course, is once again the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. Back hot, ready to go.
Chris, I'm all fired up. You know, Predators this weekend. You know, won by 3 points this last weekend.
Two on a safety. Yeah, I want to talk about that here in just a minute.
I know. Everybody that saw the game, I did not see that one, just said it was absolutely outstanding game.
Yeah, it was against the L.A. Kiss in Los Angeles, unfortunately. Right. But nonetheless, it was televised. And we got Nick LoCicero on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Just a couple of quick programming notes. Some good news and bad news for you American Adversaries fans out there. And by the way, thank you very, very much for listening tonight. Tonight, we'll have the full 2 hours. Thursday night, we'll have the full 2 hours because tonight the Rays are playing a night game in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday, they're off. That's the good news. The bad news is tomorrow they're playing an afternoon game in Arizona, so our show will be preempted at least off of the airwaves. But, of course, you can still listen to us by going to our brand-new website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and hit the Listen Live button right there on the home page. While you're there, check out all our sponsors, please. And or you can go to the AM660TheAnswer.com website. Or if you have a smart device, hopefully you've downloaded already, or you can do that anytime this evening or tomorrow before the show. You can download the free WORL-FM AM app into that there smart device so that you can listen to us no matter wherever the Rays are, and at any time, anywhere, of course. And speaking of poll question, well, speaking of that app, you can also take part in poll questions that we put up on pretty much a daily basis. And we got one up there today having to do with what there, Nick LoCicero?
Yeah, today's question is about the Democratic primary. California, who will win? And right now it's pretty overwhelming with 70% of the votes going to Bernie Sanders.
Oh, you know.
Bernie
really?
And the Jets. Bernie!
Bernie and the nuts.
I know. Bernie and all the special nuts.
Or Bernie is nuts. Mm-hmm. But okay, all right. Well, I thought you were going to say Hillary because I'm predicting she's going to pull it out there tonight. That's our poll question today. You'll have until to the end of tonight's show to get your response in. We'll give you an update later on in the show, and then, of course, we'll give you the final tally before we get out of here tonight. And don't forget, when we go off the air, some great radio is still yet to come before you get to the Rays, and that's Larry Elder, because he comes on right after us at 7 o'clock, and you'll have him until about 8:30, 8:40 when the pregame show starts for the Rays.
Chris, I was thinking about that, like today, you know, on Bernie and Hillary and who's going to win.
Yeah.
Now, let's think about it. Most of Bernie's followers don't have any money, right? So they probably don't have a TV or a radio.
Oh, no, they got all those from the government.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, and their cell phone, right. Yeah, they're watching.
They got more gadgets than I got, right?
So I was figuring they will vote tonight out of enthusiasm. Hillary's people are like dead fish. And I don't know if they'll show up, so I would probably pick Bernie, too. But we'll go into this later, of course.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. Yeah. But you heard my sort of a little opening remark there. You know, Sunday they had Lisa Chrisman and Marilyn had their grand opening and premier grand opening celebration out at the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa. And once again, this place is real easy to find. And I did not realize how huge this place is. Now, I stopped by there Sunday afternoon on the way out to the show here. And as I was arriving, the parking lot was full. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of looking for a place to park. And I saw Aubrey's car there. And he was coming out. He was leaving as I was arriving. He says, do you want to park where I'm parking? I said, no, I'll go ahead and park around back. Because I have sort of this bad habit sometimes of leaving the house, especially if I'm in a hurry, without tucking my shirt in.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
So,
it gives you a little time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and a little bit more comfortable.
Spruce yourself up
and
everything.
That's right. So anyway, so I go around back and park, right, behind the building. Right. And so I get out of my car, and I'm looking around. I don't see anybody. So I even actually walked over a little bit closer to the building so nobody would see me tuck my shirt in, right? So,
okay. Is this one of these pervert scenes? That's what I'm starting to see a direction here.
Well, let's just say.
You pull your zipper down to say your pants get wired to be able to put your shirt in, well, and here comes somebody.
Well, fortunately, you know, I kind of turned my back to the building when I did it. Now, I didn't pull my pants down, but I did, you know, unbuckle them and stuff my shirt and tail in. And so I go in. And
that's what you told the policeman, at least.
Yeah, I'm walking through the place, right? And, I mean, it's just huge in there. It's right. All state-of-the-art. It's a beautiful place. And I walk through and got a little refreshment there and stuff. And then I walk into this one room that's a huge room, and they call it the hair and nail room. Where they do the hair and the nails, and I'm walking through, and I look out. This, the whole wall is nothing but windows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look out, and there's my car right there.
Oh, my God. You're the center of attention. Can you imagine if people were discussing that at the party? They're going, did you see this pervert out there expose himself? Nice, Chris.
Anyway, everybody
nice.
Had a lovely time out there. Got to see a couple of Preds cheerleaders there.
Whoa. Hello, Betty.
Yes, you know? And got a picture with Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then she called in our show that night and sang to us on the air. And you'll have to go to our archive tonight to see what she sang to us. And that'll be after the show. Nick will put it up there. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. And
Now, were the Preds cheerleaders watching the game at all? Or actually, you had to leave before the game started.
Well,
I think it was at 6 o'clock.
Well, It was an away game.
West, yeah.
It was away game. I didn't. I couldn't stay very long because I had to come and do the show. Nobody said anything. Let's just put it that way.
I mean, I'd laugh if you walk in, everybody screamed, there's a pervert from outside the parking lot.
Everybody starts applauding or something, right?
I'd say, use the ladies' men's room, buddy.
What difference does it make anymore, right?
I know.
Why even have men's rooms and ladies'
I'm a gender-type swinging guy, you know what I mean?
That's right.
I go either way, you know?
All right. Anyway, everybody had a great time, and it was a huge success, and I want to thank all of you listeners who were able to get out there on Sunday. We really appreciate it. All right. We got a lot to talk about tonight, and, of course, the big deal is the Trump deal. But, you know, we've had these COPA games going on here in Central Florida, and I guess another game's going on. Was it tonight?
I know they had one. This is hard to believe. They actually played last night. From my understanding, in that storm. Now, I missed it. I don't miss many of these games.
Was,
oh, yeah.
It was probably the most interesting soccer game that you could watch.
I watched it just to see if anybody got hit by lightning.
them slipping and sliding anyway, right?
I mean, did you see the opening night? And, I mean, this is supposed to be actually, you know, a grandiose affair for, I guess, soccer lovers throughout the world and everything. Well, they hold it in Orlando, and their opening night, it was a pretty nice night out, they drew 14,500. I wonder if they even covered the rent of the stadium, in all seriousness. Then I look at this, and I'm looking at the names of all the teams. Like, on I guess Saturday night, you missed it. It was Costa Rica and Paraguay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you missed that game. But you missed the excitement. It was a 0-0 tie.
Oh, those are the best.
So, I mean, but I'm thinking maybe tomorrow night or the night if they play, it's probably St. Bart's versus Little Cayman Brock. You know, I mean, I can believe this is going to be a power struggle. But, I mean, what are they doing? Who pays the rent on this thing? Yeah.
In the meantime, the Preds were playing in L.A.
The L.A. Kiss.
And it was a heck of a game. They tied the game in the last 10, with 10 seconds to go. They score a touchdown to tie the game.
Right.
They missed the extra point, which would have given them a one-point lead. You would
got
think
it.
They're going to win the game. So they have to kick the ball off. They kick the ball off to the Kiss. The Kiss gets the ball, I think, about the 14 or 15-yard line with 3 seconds left. So they decide they're going to try for a field goal. right? The center snaps the ball through the end zone, and it turns out to be a safety, and they win the game, I think, 43-41. But almost every game this season has been just tremendously exciting games.
Every game is usually going down to the last 30 seconds. And I remember one time when we had the team, the other team, we scored 21 points in 1 minute, the final minute of the game. I mean, this game never ends. You're never ahead by enough. And that's why I think arena football, if properly managed, really does have a life. I mean, I saw a little bit of the Philadelphia Soul game the other night. Philadelphia was playing, I forget, Cleveland or somebody in Philly. But I got to tell you, I mean, the place had this was the Jacksonville Sharks. The place was packed in Jacksonville. And they are a major drawer. And when it's packed, it's exciting, you know. So
I think they like their arena football up there.
They really do. I mean, it looked to me, if I had to guess, I bet you that arena was 90% full, which is good. Good for them. You know, good promotion, good owner. Good job.
That's all right. Okay. Yep. All right. Let's get to some politicking. Of course, today is not exactly the final primary day, the final primary day of any significance, though. I think Washington, D.C. still has yet to do a Democrat primary next week. But for all practical purposes, the primary season is over after today, and the parties begin to look more now toward the convention, and then after that it'll be toward the general election. And, of course, our poll question today is Bernie Sanders going to win or Hillary in California? And the latest polls show it neck and neck amongst all voters, amongst likely voters or people who normally do come out and vote in primaries. Hillary still had a significant lead. But, of course, Bernie Sanders is the one with the greater enthusiasm out there. And that should make up for a great deal of that. Nonetheless, that poll won't close, I believe, for our time until 10 o'clock tonight. And
three-hour difference.
Yeah, and then if it is at all close, mm-hmm. it's going to be several hours before we know anything from there. But regardless of what happens in California, Hillary Clinton, the AP has already announced today that she now has enough delegates to be the presumptive nominee. And I guess there's a little bit of Bernie feeling like he got burned in that their process.
Chris, think about this. Poor Bernie, right? I mean, if he would have known those 20 people were hiding, I doubt he'd have been there all this time, all this money, everything, and then they come out before they even start voting and they announce Bernie already lost money. You know what I mean? In other words, those 20 delegates, and I love it, special delegates,
right?
They're the ones that carried Hillary over.
Right.
Well, if you know that expression, as she frosts my, I mean, this would send me through the roof if I was Bernie. And I think there's going to be ramifications from this that Hillary is not going to like, meaning there's going to be actions by Bernie that I think he's going to maybe start to rip the party up a little bit. I don't think he's just going to sink right in and say, okay, we're all friends and let's just move on together. I think this is the straw that broke the camel's back.
All right. We'll talk more about this and the Trump ongoing judge. Here comes the judge.
Here comes the judge.
Scandal. All right. Don't forget, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And we are here. We are live. And we will be right back. There he is, strutting his stuff again.
I like that style. Money, money, money. Chris, did you see, though, that oil today hit a 10-month high? It crossed over $50 and stayed over $50 on the close.
Yep.
And I think we were down around 26. I think the time we openly discussed it, when it was around 30, 31, we were talking what's good is bad and what's bad is good. And the market
boom and
today.
Bust. Yep. Boom and bust.
And the market today crossed over 18,000 temporarily. Then came back a little bit. But our shale companies are actually at this level, they can survive, and they're actually starting to, back at activity. And I think the one good note about energy is we are exporting a lot more energy than we ever have. And that's where I think we need to go, because then we can do away with a lot of our military problems and everything else. So, and our trade balance. Imagine how it can help that.
Well, it would help the economy tremendously.
Big time.
Overall, in a big way, absolutely. And Trump's energy policy would do just that. Speaking, of course, of Trump, he's still mired in the judge controversy, if you will. And according to depending on who you were listening to. Once again, this is another one of those moments that's it's the death knell. It's finally, this is going to do him in. This is the end. According to like Michael Medved, not only will it is this the beginning of the end of the Trump campaign, but it's going to be disastrous now for the Republicans too. They could lose the House and the Senate, and it's just going to be, you know, a Waterloo type situation. That's my word, not his.
I'm going to bet, and I mean this, in 2 months we'll never even remember the day's conversation.
Yeah, well,
because.
How many times have we been down this road already?
Right. What is the style of the Democratic Party? It's anytime a white questions a protected minority, the motivation must be some form of discrimination.
Of race.
And we see this.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And the judge, as we both know, he was part of the La Raza. They have a La Raza attorney
system. It's called the La Raza Lawyers
right.
Group. Okay.
And La Raza means race. And
the,
I mean,
the how, race. Yeah.
How about... If Trump
not just
was,
race, the race.
Yeah, now what does the race mean to you?
Well, here's what it means to me. Because,
I know what it means to me.
All right, well yesterday I had gone back to my dictionary, which I do every so often in situations
you
like
have
this.
One?
Yeah.
Oh.
Got a couple of big old thick
okay.
ones that they used to find in libraries.
I know, the old ones. Are...
Yeah, and I mean, you could stand on these and paint your ceiling one at a time. Anyway, so I look up racism. Mm-hmm. And this is I knew this, but I wanted to just confirm it. Racism is the belief that one race is biologically and inherently therefore superior to all other races, or the belief that one race is biologically and therefore inherently inferior to the other races.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you have a group called the race, what does that imply? It implies that that race is therefore somehow superior.
Right.
Who's being racist in this instance? Mm-hmm. See, this is what all the buffoons are missing here, is that Trump is jamming his finger in political correctness's eye again here. He's saying, look, and by the way, the angry phone call where Trump talked about this, who came up with this stupid idea to back away from this fight? Trump picked this fight, and he did it for a reason. Now, I talked about this on the show last night. He's playing by his gut. He's playing by his instincts.
Mm-hmm.
His instincts are telling him that conservatives and a lot of people out there, as a matter of fact, you go down in the hood, see what the hood, what people in the hood think of the American justice system. Okay, and what they think about whether they get a fair shake in a case in front of any damn judge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're just down there laughing, join the party, MF-er.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to the crowd, MF-er, is what they're probably saying to Trump, right? So he's actually talking what they already know, and that is you can't trust a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we come and talked or have we lamented court decisions on this show made by judges? Like the judge here in Florida, now wasn't a federal judge, this was a state judge down in South Florida, who said gay marriage was okay. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, a constitutional amendment that we had passed here in Florida is gone, toilet paper, gone, because of judges' decisions.
Chris Sonia.
He attacked this man because he's using this man, if you will, as a vessel for his attack on all judges.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Look at there.
Do you think she shows any bias at all toward people of color?
Look at yonder.
Yeah.
How about
that? Go listen
to
her talk.
How about
go listen to her speeches. This lady is as guilty of bias as anybody could be, and it's obvious bias. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
I don't get it, other than the Republicans are too stupid to fight back against perceived political correctness. I would jam this right down their throat. I would take Sotomayor's and many of her quotes and various other ones and just play them and say, this is the problem, you gutless bunch of fools.
Speaking of, St. Pauli girl Ryan comes out today. And the question is put to him, do you think this is an instance of classic racism? And what the stupid doofus should have said, like you said, he should have taken the opportunity to say, look, I know a lot of people may see it that way. I don't see it that way. I see this as a political and a legal dispute. And, oh, by the way, then you turn the argument on them.
That's right. I'd say we don't deal in racism.
Right.
We deal
it
in reality.
It's the Democrats who deal in racism.
Right. You are the ones that are screaming racism because you're the racist.
See, Trump's instinct to turn the argument on them is the accurate instinct. Instead, these... Well, I can't say what I really think about them, but they turn their tail and they run, and then they end up looking so stupid. I mean,
no, it was a racist statement, but oh, by the way, I still support him.
Oh, wow, isn't that being principled and a man of character? It makes you look like a weak punk that you are, St. Pauli girl and all the rest of you damn fools. All right, I know you folks ain't fools because you're listening to the best show in town. We are the American
Adversaries. How about Flimsy Nelson?
Any day.
All right. We're going to the mat for the Donald tonight, you might say. Welcome back
to
the show.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, Michael McBath and myself, Christopher Hart here. 407-774-8255 is the number. Real quick, couple more things on this before we get to the phone lines. But, as I was going back to my dictionary, I looked up prejudice, I looked up racism, and I looked up bigotry. By the way, the word bigot, just the simple word bigot, means a man with a mustache.
Chris, when we do talk about the word bias, and I used to always hear this about, like even I use your own university. Let's say I go to Penn State, right, and I'm a guy hiring somebody. You know, you bring five people in, even though I want to give the best person the opportunity to take the job to enhance, the performance of the corporation.
Another
I'm
Lindy
gonna
line
have,
comes
but,
in.
Right, yeah. I'm going to have a bias there.
It's only natural.
Right, and if your parents came from Mexico and you're, in your mind, a great, great success, which I'm sure he is, this guy has a bias, whether it's subliminal or not. He has a bias. He should step away from the case.
All right. And as far as the group that he belongs to called...
That doesn't help his case at all.
The race lawyers, in other words, La Raza lawyers, the race lawyers, they provided scholarships for aliens, Hispanics.
Illegal.
Some of them illegal aliens, correct. They also provided, evidently, some legal services. And there are those out there arguing, but they have nothing to do with the advocacy group known as La Raza, the race, which is the more militant or let's just say more aggressively progressive group. Lo and behold, though, if you go to La Raza Lawyers' website, you will find that they have a link to La Raza, the advocacy group's website.
The militants.
So exactly. So there is some connection there. Now, I don't know a lot about websites, but I've learned enough over the time doing this show to know that if you got a link on your website, that somebody in your organization put it there. Right?
And I would say so.
And for a reason. And we only have links on our website that I approve of, that we approve of. So it's don't give me this stuff that they don't have a common goal, if you will, in mind, right?
No, I agree 100%.
And that goal is to do away with the border between the United States and Mexico. And here comes Trump going to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall. I keep saying, I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall. And people are, dismissing that. And once again, it may be an unartful way to make his case, but it is nonetheless a legitimate case. Wait, real quick, Mike. Now, I looked up bigotry. Now, let me read this, and then we'll decide who sounds more like a bigot. All right? Bigotry, according to Webster's big old thick, many thousand page dictionary, is an obstinate or blind attachment to a particular creed, unreasonable zeal in favor of a party or a sect or an opinion. Now, if somebody's out there has particular zeal for a party, like, say, Michael Medved, all worried about the Republican Party going to be destroyed by that mean old ogre, Donald Trump, who's the bigot? He's the one being the bigot by this definition. You see, and this is what's being lost in all of this. And I must say, Trump's been throwing around the racist word, too. And nobody in this is a racist. Because nobody is insisting that their race is superior to all others or that any given race is inferior. That is not what Trump is saying. He's simply saying what Mike just said. The guy has perhaps a natural bias. We are, as I said last night, subjective human beings. We are not objective human beings.
No, I mean, it's just like if you walked into a locker room, it'll say you have a group of whites and a group of blacks, and if you're white, you'll probably drift where? To the group of whites. Probably. And now, does that mean I'm a racist? Not at all. It's just, I've been around them more, I'll probably go over there. But the reality of this guy, the race, are you kidding me? Look at the organization he belonged to. That makes it very clear to me where he stands. Is he biased? But it's just smart to have him stay away from the case.
Let's look at this in a little bit of a larger perspective, mm-hmm. too. Let's kind of put ourselves up on a cloud looking down and go,
yeah.
There's a lot going on here where people in a particular society are denying natural realities,
mm-hmm.
like, say, being male or female, right?
Right.
We are basically denying natural reality. By natural, I mean by nature. Nature created. Nature created male and female, right? We can't decide what male and female is. Nature created it. And we can't decide that we want to be female against what nature has made us. Now, we can live as a woman, but we have not made ourselves female. You know what I'm trying to say here?
It is a
biological reality you cannot change, even if you chop this off and add that. The X and Y chromosome stay the same. And yet they are trying to deny a real world. It's the same case here. Yeah, the judge is biased.
Oh, no, he can't be. He's a federal judge, and he's got a stellar record.
I don't give a damn. He's a human being. He's biased.
Oh, no, he can't be. He was appointed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger was an idiot. Look what he did for California. Right?
Yep.
And oh, by the way, this judge is in California. This is a group in California. Where's California today with illegal immigration?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, they can get a driver's license and automatically register to vote. I'd say there's a good case, there's a bias, strong bias going on there.
How's California doing with their money situation?
Oh, boy, aren't they a wonderful
they're
place.
They're trailing Detroit. And I mean, it's such a disaster out there because, again, I say the Democrats lead in identity politics. That's all it is. And these people in the media, they live off of this stuff to create that type of image of Trump, which is not right.
Right.
Sorry.
And yes, the judge was a prosecutor before he became a judge. And yes, he did go after drug cartels. But to say that that is somehow an act of courage, maybe if he was a prosecutor in Mexico,
yeah,
that'd be an act of courage.
Not.
Come on. Give me a break.
Come on.
George, you're up first. We appreciate you calling tonight.
Good evening. How's the 1-2 puncher of the adversaries doing?
All right, George. It's good to hear your voice.
We're giving them the shuffle.
I know.
You got your hair standing up tonight, Chris. Whoa.
We got a bottle of water to pour in his head if he gets through on fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got 5 reasons when people need to get help when they're spending too much time electronically communicating. But before I get to that, I got The Crisis of Character, a new book about the White House Secret Service officer who was there when Crooked Harry and Bill were there. Sounds like a good read to me.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we talked about that a great deal on the show Sunday night. It's coming out in about 3 weeks, right before the conventions. It's by the fellow's name is Gary J. Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, Crisis of Character. You can go ahead and place a pre-order for that. By the way,
I did already on Amazon, by the way.
Okay. And by
good
the way,
job, George.
Before, I think it was Drudge mentioned this book coming out.
It
was like number 25,000 or something on Amazon. Drudge mentions it. It's now number 1 pre-ordered book on Amazon.
They did a whole article on Breitbart and everything.
Or is it Breitbart? Yeah. I'm sorry. It was Breitbart.
I guess this is really going to sting her again, too. But, yeah, I mean, you couldn't work over somebody that doesn't deserve it more.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
She deserves everything.
Exactly.
Comes to her.
Exactly. Anyway, go ahead.
Guys, I can't wait till Obama's gone. Wait till the books come out for him and Michelle. Whoa.
We're going to get to Michelle here in a few minutes. You've been shooting off her mouth, too. Go ahead.
I got one prediction, then I get to my reasons. I want to be one of the first to predict that it's only a matter of time till somebody sues to change the name of the White House because white is prejudice.
Well, you know.
Given what Michelle said.
Michelle said it was built by slaves, right?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Right?
Yeah, we'll give it to you in her own words here shortly. Go ahead.
Now, five reasons when you need to get some help, you're spending too much time electronically. Number five, you panic when you can't find your phone.
Okay, that's a good one, yeah.
Number four, you get anxiety attack when your phone battery life is down to 5% and you can't find your charger.
I've been there.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Number two, you spend more time with your computer, your phone, and your tablet than you do sleeping.
Well, that's that. By the way, if you go to these things at night, it'll actually keep you awake. It makes your brain activity go up. Did you skip three?
No, I'm going to three right now.
I thought it was going five to one. You were right. Going one to five. Okay, go ahead. Number three.
Well, it's the Ukrainian thing. We just don't always keep track of it.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Okay, you think the only way to communicate is with texting, email, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, never face-to-face anymore, yep.
Yeah. Number one, you know you need help when you are texting a person sitting across from you.
Oh, jeez. That is a good point, George.
And we've all done that, haven't we? Somewhere along the line. Go ahead.
Well, the last thing, Einstein said, and I quote the way he exactly said it, "I fear the day that technology will surpass our human interactions, the world will have a generation of idiots." Boy, did he nail that one, huh?
Oh, God almighty, did he ever. All right, by the way,
all right, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right, George, thanks for your top five.
Yeah. CNBC. Yes,
thank you.
Yeah, all keep right. those coming. CNBC did a poll that shows actually that social media app use is declining, so perhaps there's hope for us yet. All right, let's go next to James. You're up next, James. Thanks for calling tonight.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I heard on your news break that a large group of retardicans, and that's what I'm going to start calling them, has banded together to universally denounce Trump.
Correct.
How can this large group of retardicans?
That's a good phrase.
Trump. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what'd Mike say?
I like that. That's a good phrase. That's real good. Retardicans.
It grows on you, doesn't it?
How can this large group of retardicans say that Trump is, with his rhetoric, is alienating the Mexicans, and also say that Trump, by saying that he is going to enforce the existing U.S. law of building a wall, which is on the books, and the other presidents, from George Bush and Obama, have not enforced the law, which they were obliged to do, but they didn't do it.
Well, that actually,
now Trump comes along and says he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So how can these retardicans say that because he's doing all this stuff, he's alienating the Mexicans, and then when Trump turns around and says, "Hey, I've got an alienated Mexican handling my court case. I don't think this is fair." How can they say that? How can they say he is biased because he's saying the very same thing that they've been saying?
Well, that's what evidently they're missing, is that Trump is, in essence, giving them a taste of their own medicine. I mean, how many times have we heard liberals complain about... Did you ever hear of a guy named Ken Starr? Remember Ken Starr?
Yeah, who just got knocked out of Baylor.
He run out of Baylor.
Yeah, I know who Ken is.
But he was a federal judge before he was a special prosecutor. Do you remember that part?
Right.
And what were we told about the Clinton administration all during that impeachment thing? He was a sex addict, and you name it. They said it about him, right? You talk about disgracing a man's character. They did a pretty good job of it. He's giving them a taste of their own medicine is all it is. And the Republicans, because they never do this, it's an alien idea to them. They don't know what to do. Look at them all. Oh, my God. Look, what has he done now? Well, let me tell you something. They got a dilemma. I call it Ryan's dilemma. And that dilemma is Donald Trump is the nominee. They're going to have to figure out that either they're going to get on board or they might just better run away. Mark Kirk today, I'll hand it to Mark Kirk. He ran away. He said, I'm washing my hands of Trump. I'm taking back my endorsement. I don't want anything else to do with him. Because if they try to do what Ryan did today, this was textbook racism. That, he didn't say it like that, but he agreed with the reporter's question, which was phrased like that. And then he turns around and says, but I still am, support him. Makes you look like a darn fool. You got to get all in or you got to get all out. And this is the dilemma. And by the way, what makes the dilemma tough is that Trump is going to continue to function based on his gut instincts, not what Paul Ryan wants or says. His gut instincts.
You know, Chris and James, another thing is, we just saw that rape case, right? That with the Stanford student.
Yeah, he got 6 months.
Now, wait a second. Right, now, wait. Now, why is there all of a sudden massive complaints?
About who? Who are they complaining about?
Is it the judge?
Oh, yeah, they're complaining about the judge.
That's why I can't believe that these people can't see the exact parallel here in the sense that, oh, the judge was what? Biased toward what? Athletes.
Yeah.
Wait a second. He's not supposed to be biased.
And why was he biased toward a Stanford athlete?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a Stanford athlete.
Why wasn't that incorporated into the Republican arguments if they had anybody with any brains that could defend their actions?
They
just
don't know how to deal with being
crazy.
A doggone winner and kicking the other side's tail. All they know is how to get their tails kicked and how to turn around and smile about it after it happens.
Well, I mean, I think this one, I mean, can you imagine these were parallel cases, are sitting right out there.
It's
beautiful.
Right there.
It's very clear.
Very clear. St. Pauli girl had to do today was say, look.
Let's go to Stanford.
Yeah. Let's look at this judge. Do you think this judge did the right thing down there? Of course not.
Okay.
All right, we got it.
There you go.
Bingo, bango, zippo, zappo. Let's talk about the economy.
Yep.
Right?
And, I mean, he should have moved off it. I'd have given that response and said, have a good day. We're going to move into this.
But he's an obvious...
He's a geek. He's not a winner. He's going to be bad news for Republicans.
He is indeed. He's a pencil-neck geek if ever there was one.
Unbelievable.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. And we got us a new contest. Thursday will be contest day. Of course, we'll be here. We'll have the whole 2 hours because the Rays will be off. So it'll be a lot of fun. Okay, let her run around and have a little fun. I mean, she's going to get the nomination tonight, right? Okay, Hillary, that's enough. Don't do that.
Do you think Bernie's people will be playing this tonight? Who let the dogs out? We'll see.
Oh, classic stuff.
All right,
speaking of Hillary, did you hear about the new Hillary stamp?
Yeah.
They're having trouble with it down to the Treasury the Postal Service.
Yeah, the Postal Service is what they do. You know, they like to do everything way ahead of time, and you can see how Hillary got her special delegates just when she needed them. Obama's already out there now preparing a stamp to inaugurate it on the day that she has her inauguration. So it's going to be produced that day. But there's been some problems. It said the Postal Service has created a stamp with a picture of Hillary on it. The Postal Service noticed that the stamp was not sticking to the envelopes. Well, this obviously enraged the president, who has demanded an investigation on this issue.
Can't have this.
They said, after a month of testing and $1.73 million in congressional spending, and while the Obamas were in Hawaii twice, a special presidential commission presented the following findings. And this is important. One, the stamp is in perfect order. Two, there is nothing wrong with the glue. And three, people are spitting on the wrong side. Hillary, you're off and running, baby. That stamp comes out, I guess, the day that you were inaugurated. Hopefully that won't happen. And spitting on the wrong side.
my goodness. You know, there's all this angst in the land. And by the way, we got some interesting new poll numbers out that show this race very close. Now, these were prior to the judge thing. But it'll give us a good baseline to see if that really moves the needle. But you know, there's a lot of people out there who just can't stand it. They can't stand. They can't bring themselves to vote for Trump. They don't want Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. They're beside themselves. They just do not know what to do. So, of course, we here at the American Adversaries are always trying to be helpful, right?
Oh, without a doubt. We want to progress our society to a point that they're going to be a major contributor.
Right. So Mike has come up with a contest to help with this dilemma.
Yeah, I've just decided since we can't find the leadership in our country, we're going to open up the president and vice presidency to anybody throughout the world. It can be any occupation, anybody throughout the world. So you got to choose your president and vice president. My example, and I'm going to tell you who I'm choosing. I'm going to take Vladimir Putin and he's going to be my president. And the reason is, this is a pure tough guy. This is a guy that doesn't put up with anything. Plus, I really believe he will steal less money than the Clintons. So he's going to be my president. Okay. My vice president, to hold him in line, will be Clint Eastwood, because he's an ultra-conservative. Again, another tough guy. Won't let anybody take advantage of America. And he also knows how to handle a 45. Make my day. So I think he'll be able to keep Putin in order. So it's opened up. We open the contest on Thursday. Pick your president and vice president from anywhere in any field throughout the world. We're going to come up with some leaders.
There you go. So if neither one of these candidates is good enough, then who would be?
Can you imagine, Dirty Harry sitting across from Putin? Make my day, brother.
Make my day. All right. Okay. That'll be Thursday. And you'll be playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano's. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd. Great folks. And if you got a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know these folks. And by the way, summertime is here. And if you're thinking about taking that Mercedes out on the road, take it by there. They'll give you a free safety checkup on that thing. All right. That's Jerry and Janice Shepherd. $20 gift certificate. We'll also throw in a My Liberty Threads t-shirt and maybe bumper sticker or two.
Yeah.
So
do we have any Trump stickers left?
I think I might have one or two left.
I told you I'm very proud of my neighborhood. Remember the big sign, the one that you stick into the ground? Real big sign. I've had it up. Yeah. No one's ripped it down or said anything critical. And then my neighbor snuck me the thought that she sort of liked Trump.
Oh, no. Don't tell me your husband's a federal judge, too. Right?
You know.
All right, we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break, and we got some other business we'll be talking about, too. Oh, another thing in California about, the illegals, now they can vote. Oh, excuse me, now they can get a driver's license.
Right.
Presumably, they're going to be voting. Right,
they're going to be voting even if they're not legal.
It's going to be
fraud. Don't worry about that.
It's going to be up to the state's Department of Elections or whoever runs it out there to weed them out.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's really going to happen, right?
Oh yeah, right.
Now, even though the president promised us this would not happen, there looks like they're going to be entitled to Obamacare too.
Well, there's not going to be any left, Chris, in the next couple of days. Remember, we're talking.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get La Raza lawyers together and they can fight this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not right. It's against the law. It's against the law itself, and it's against what the president said. Yeah, we'll get La Raza lawyers to fight them on this. I know they'll do that, won't they?
Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about United Healthcare, what just happened today.
Yeah, here in the state
of
Florida.
In the state of Florida, and they have huge amount of people that are involved with them.
Don't get suckered by these wimps up in Washington, folks. This is a fight to the finish. And Trump is picking his enemies carefully.
One ball, one fall, lose or leave town, no time limit. That's how it's going to be.
Amen. All right, we'll be back with another full hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. If we want to see all of Hillary's personal emails from her and the staffers and Sullivan and Patrick Kennedy and Cheryl Mills and all. And by the way, Patrick Kennedy was one of the ones who helped identify Vincent Foster's body.
He was a DWI guy, right?
Yeah. I think that's a different Patrick
Kennedy.
Yeah,
okay,
you're talking about the actual Kennedy family. This is a guy who just happens to have the name Kennedy.
Oh.
But he's been a longtime staffer. Anyway, according to the State Department, if we want to see all of her emails, it will take them 75 years to compile them for us because of all of the
So statute of limitations won't count then.
Well, I guess not, because because of all of the requests for information, the Freedom of Information Act requests, which are they're being inundated with them.
Right.
They figure that they can only process about 500 emails a month, and because there are many tens of thousands of them, they extrapolate that to mean that it's going to take them 75 years to sort all of this out.
Don't you believe this is why Trump needs to win, to clean the sewer out? I mean, if that's a real excuse, honestly, is that really a true story?
That's a true story.
I mean,
story.
That is as disgusting as it can get, because we know what the woman has done. That yeah. new book coming out. I mean, Clinton Cash, if everybody would read that, no one would ever vote for anybody.
Well, the movie on that is coming yeah. out. But this is from The Hill. This is the Hill is the source for this. According to this,
that
they
is
got
so
this,
disgusting.
From the State Department itself. And once again, according to the State Department, it will take 75 years 75. To sort all this stuff out and put it out there.
Well, leave a note for your grandchildren.
Yeah, boy. Yeah,
and they can figure out what she did, which yeah. I know what she did right now.
Yeah, so. Well, let's just hope the FBI can sort it out a little bit quicker than that.
Chris, we were talking about United Healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, right
the
before
Obama,
we cut.
Obamacare, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they sent out letters today, and I know there's hundreds of thousands of people around here that have it, and they're discontinuing in the state of Florida at the end of the year. And they already sent a note saying start making preparation to move your account out of the marketplace. I don't think I ever dealt in my life with such inept people as I ever did in the marketplace. Everybody I talked to didn't know the other person I talked to. And the insurance company didn't know the people in the marketplace. The marketplace, they got the names misspelled. They got your Social Security number wrong. I never saw such incompetency that would have never gone on under private industry. And, again, I can't wait to the end of the year to get this one policy finally out of there from these bozos.
Well, all you got to do is go to California. Become an illegal alien.
Then I get a lot more benefits.
Well, you'll get Obamacare free.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe if it's free, that's
well,
all right.
We were told that wasn't going to happen, but now it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And, so they get it free, and I'm paying for my family of four about $17,000.
Yeah, but, you know.
They're free.
I'm sure Judge Curiel and all the great folks mm-hmm. at La Raza Lawyer Group will mm-hmm. go down, and they'll find they'll file some sort of legal action to make sure the state of California does not do that.
Yeah.
Don't you think that they
yeah.
would?
Mm-hmm.
You really? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, exactly the opposite is what they're all about, and that's why Trump's got a beef. By the way, there's some interesting poll numbers out. Now, once again, these came out just prior to this latest, Trumpism. The NBC Survey Monkey Weekly poll, actually part of this poll was conducted after the Trump judge, here come the judge.
Yeah, here comes the judge, yeah.
It shows in a national poll that Hillary leads Trump by 4 points if it's just Hillary against Trump.
Right.
Okay? It's like, I think, 45-41, I believe it was, something like that. But if you include the Libertarian Party, and they're in this, so
right.
you got to start including them, and more polls, I'm sure, will do this, Trump leads Hillary.
I believe that. I mean, I really do believe that, because I think the Libertarian Party, I saw today, Gary Johnson is really going to put a move on Bernie's people. He believes that even though economically they don't see head-to-head, but on other issues, see very close.
When it comes to social issues
right,
and marijuana
I'm saying.
And stuff like that, they're Bernie's. They're burned people.
So I think Hillary could get waxed if Johnson does a good act.
Yeah, it's still within the margin of error, but it puts Trump ahead of Hillary 40-39 with mm-hmm. 9% going to the Libertarians if they're included in this poll. Now, that's a national poll. Rasmussen also shows, and Quinnipiac show... Quinnipiac poll shows Hillary leading by 4 and Rasmussen by 1. Those are national polls. But there are also some interesting statewide polls that have come out. And these polls are not your typical swing state polls. By the way, Trump's only down a couple of points here in Florida and only by 4 points in Virginia. And these are, of course, both states that Obama won pretty handily last mm-hmm. time around. Let's look at some polls in states that weren't considered to be toss-up yeah. states. Like, for instance, New Jersey. A Monmouth University poll released Tuesday shows that Trump is down only 4 points to Clinton. Obama won the state by 18 points over Romney. In Oregon, a Clout research poll shows Trump leading Clinton by 2 points.
And this is in Oregon.
In Oregon.
As liberal as that state is.
As liberal as it is.
Uh-huh.
In California, the Hoover Golden State poll shows Clinton with a 12-point lead, but that's below Obama's 23-point margin of victory in 4 years ago.
Don't you think the Republican elite would take note of this? That they, you know, Romney wouldn't be competitive in a number of these states.
No, they're too busy fretting. They're too busy fretting over Trump going after this federal judge,
yeah,
and not figuring out what he's doing. And perhaps,
no, I mean, when you see the numbers, Chris, Hillary's been in the business 25 years. You know,
at
she
least.
Is
well, actually, all her adult life,
right? And you know, we know what she's done, which is horrendous. And then here's a guy's been in at the business 9 months. And look where he is, just about equal to you, meaning Hillary, that's been there 25 years.
Right.
It's a real tribute to what a loser you are, Hillary, that you could even be that close 5 months away. Wow.
And what you want to bet that this little dust-up with the judge is not going to cost him support in terms of the people who are already supporting him? Is it going to prevent him from getting other support? That remains to be seen.
It's too far out. We're all going to forget this issue within a week and a half. They'll be on to something else, and this will not. This is nothing. It's just a talking points for a couple days for the media.
Well, what it did was it provided the media with what
they needed something.
They were looking for this all along. Their plan is to portray Trump as
racist.
Just figure out the phobe.
Okay? Moneymonger.
He's a homophobe.
Right.
He's a racist. He's a misogynist. He's
moneymonger.
He's a this. He's a, what did Pocahontas call him?
Pocahontas.
A money grubber.
Yeah, he's a money grubber. He likes to pay a lot of taxes,
right,
that put in roads, that build hospitals. That's what he likes to do, Pocahontas. He doesn't like the lie to get into a university and take the real place of a Native American.
Right, right. And so what they did was they jumped all over this because they feel like this fits their template of him being a racist.
Yeah.
And the man is not a racist. He is clearly not. And by the way, in this little dust-up, nobody is talking racism. We're talking bias, prejudice, if you want to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
But the true bigots in all of this, seems to me, are the ones who are going after Trump.
Yep.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. 407-774-8255 is the number. And then here in a second, we need to get an update on today's poll question. Frank is up first. Thank you, Frank, for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Frank.
I stopped in at Positano, sadly. I was hoping you guys would be there.
Ooh, how was it, Frank?
Yeah.
I brought my $20 gift certificate, sat at the bar, had the filet mignon. With the Barolo sauce, forget about it.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what.
No, the food really is good there. I mean, you're always fortunate to have sponsors, and he's been as loyal as they can get, but the food actually is very terrific.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
I always say filet mignon is kind of like sex, because the worst one I ever had was still good.
Okay.
Anyway, this Judge LaRaza thing is driving me nuts. It makes my head want to explode. You know whose stock is going way up with me? Chris.
Yeah,
he stood up for Trump. Yep.
Yeah, he's one of the only guys. I don't agree with him on everything, but at least he's a fighter, and he gets in their face, and he says, you know, and he come out and he defended Trump. You know, our guys, I'm so sick and tired of when Greeny's fine, Paul Ryan, you know, that are just too good, you know. Oh, my God. If Trump was a Democrat, Schumer comes out today and he says, Mr. Trump did not insult all Mexicans. He's talking about this particular judge. Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, this judge is being outrageous and he's a member of, and he needs to, you know what I'm saying?
You're exactly right. They would have put the full course press, the full court press on. They would have not backed down. They would not be going,
our guys are too good for that. And the thing is, when you're at war, you can't be too good. If your enemy is going to fight dirty, you got to fight dirty. That's just all there is to it.
And that's what the man is doing. And they just don't know how to fight.
These
are pencil neck geeks for the most part, and they just don't know how to fight.
You know, Frank, you need to take the party over for the Trumplicans here in Florida. You know what I mean? You could be the strong arm of something.
The state campaign leader, yeah.
Hey, I don't like how you vote. You get it?
Well, but, you know, he's got a point. I mean,
no, he does. Very much so. I agree 100%.
And like Medved, he's apoplectic.
Ugh. Right. Oh, he makes me sick.
And he's saying, well, I'm still thinking maybe something will happen.
It's
unbelievable.
I know. He wants Trump actually to pick his own replacement.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, right.
Go back to criticizing movies, Michael.
He wasn't good at that, but he doesn't annoy as many people.
Yeah, yeah. See, that reminds me of someone who is obstinate or blindly attached to a particular creed, who has unreasonable zeal in favor of a party, a sect, or an opinion.
Sounds like a definition, Chris.
Yeah, that's Michael Medved, and that's the definition of bigotry.
It's funny to watch him going through the stages. It's anger, it's denial, right?
Yeah,
he's kind of going in from anger to denial now.
Hey, Frank, if he keeps it up, he's going to go through the stage of fired.
He's going to be the Dick Morris of this election cycle.
Well, that's the most aggravating.
That was a good one, Dick Morris.
That's the most aggravating thing about him is he gets paid good money to do that.
I know.
This world is upside down. All right, Frank. God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Love you.
Appreciate you being out there. Real quick, before I forget, there is a Trump party going on tonight.
Tonight, party on.
That's right. At Best Burgers on South Orange Avenue, 5145. It's a watch party, and it's probably going to go late because the California primary doesn't close until 10 o'clock our time, I believe. But if you'd like to go down there and hang out with some other
people. They'll probably have hats there, don't you think, Chris? They'll have hats and T-shirts. And I'll bet you they got signs to put in your yard, bumper stickers, Hill Reefer Prison 2016.
I don't know if I have any of those, but I'm sure they'll have some Trump paraphernalia down there. But you'll be able to go down there to Beth's Burgers, and that's tonight, and it's going to kick off as soon as the show's over, probably. But once again, most of the people may arrive there sort of late because of the West Coast primaries.
Oh, yeah.
But you're invited. Everybody's invited. Best Burgers is at 5145 South Orange Avenue down there south of downtown. So that's tonight, and it's a Trump watch party. So.
Well, the best party is going to be in early November.
Indeed.
And you and me will be there for the whole time.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right. When we come back, we got another caller on the line. You too can join us. Plus, we'll get an update on tonight's poll question. And I believe it was who's going to win on the Democrat side in California? Is it going to be the Bernie or is it going to be the Hillary? Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And we won't be interrupted by the Rays tonight, but occasionally during the baseball season we are. We'll be interrupted a little bit Friday night, for instance. But you can still listen to us by going to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and right there on the homepage you'll see a big Listen Live button. You can hit that thing anytime 24/7, and you'll get what is streaming live at AM660TheAnswer.com, which between 5 and 7 p.m. Eastern local time is us. That's, Sunday through Friday, actually, in an extra hour on Sunday.
We'll be able to get the Copa American scores, too, from the soccer. Match.
Not from us, but we might give you some Rays baseball scores.
St. Bart's clobbered little Cayman Brock today, 20-0.
Yeah, right. You can listen to us on your smart device by downloading the free WORL-FM-AM app. And if you have that app, you can also participate in our poll questions like today's question, right, Nick?
Yes, Chris. Who is going to win the California Democratic primary? And right now, Bernie Sanders increased his lead since the start of the show.
Whoa. Really?
83% of people responding to the poll are saying he's going to win.
Now, they're just doing that just because I said I thought Hillary was going to win.
Probably.
Now, you know, I mean, honestly, I really think it reflects as much as you. I don't know if they like Bernie. I think they just hate Hillary. I think that's it.
Well, you know, plus he's got a little momentum going into the election.
Yeah, I mean, what they did with that 20 delegate, you know, the super delegate act last night, that was rotten.
What Mike is talking about is they pulled out 20 super delegates
to claim her,
hiding out there,
the nominee. Yeah. I mean, that was so bad to the guy. I mean, I hope he breaks away and does a third party. You know, I think it'll whack her big time.
All I can say is what goes around comes around, right? Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. We have Marshall up first, and then John. Marshall, thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have a question that nobody, I don't think anybody's ever pondered about. How do the Muslims treat women?
You know
I'm going with this, don't you?
Well, I always say, you know, stone your daughter, not mine. It's called Sharia law, right? And I mean,
what
why are we supposed
think,
to? Yeah, yeah have a.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What do you think they're going to think about us electing a female leader?
Well, we've already done it. We got the dancing queen.
Yeah, I know.
You're right on the money.
Imagine the fallout.
Well, they're not going to show her any more respect. They're going to show
no
her,
respect.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll be laughing at us. But
very good.
It's just going to be a step further than Obama. They perceive Obama as a lamb, weak.
Yep.
And with them, it's you follow the lion, not the lamb.
That's
and
correct.
So they, you know, it'll be just another sign of American weakness.
Won't be paper lion, it'll be paper kitten.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it also, but see, they also see it as a sign of us and our strength or weakness. If we're electing these type people, what does it say about us? Right?
Well, you know, Chris, the other thing is.
And by the way, we just found out when we came into the studio tonight, Big Jim Turner, the Big Tuna.
You're going to like this story.
By the way, folks, if you're sick and tired of Michael Medved, flip it up the dial to our sister station, 1520 WBZW, every day live from 3 to 5. You got our hometown with Big Jim Turner. And he told us when we came into the studio tonight, guess who's going to be building mosques here in the United States?
And I don't
think
anybody.
The Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh, yeah.
The Southern Baptist Convention is going to be building mosques here in the United States. See, we're already doing their work for them.
Oh, yeah.
And when we elect weak presidents, be it Obama or another woman by the name of Hillary, then it just reinforces that impression on them.
So, Chris,
well, you guys know who Michael Savage is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The Savage Nation.
He's been saying that for years. Enemy from within.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Chris, too, in the Southern Baptist, so in essence, I can't cuss, but I can stone somebody to death. Is that how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Well,
Marshall, I'm glad you brought that up because I don't understand how anybody could ever vote, you know, for Hillary as a Democrat who supports the religion unless the religion says, hey, we will not be involved with Sharia law.
Exactly right.
Well, let's just say it this way. They would be very happy because they know that they would have another, in their mind, weak president and a weaker United States. Plus, they'd be very happy because now they can call in those the payoffs on all those donations.
I was going to say, you know, Chris, Hillary has actually met all the Muslim leaders. So she met them through the foundation.
Yeah.
When is Trump going to demand that she release her
I agree with you.
For those speeches?
He has.
Well, he needs to get stronger, so we hear it every day. I want to see who those speeches were given to.
I want them hammering that.
Yep. I think after this, the here come the judge thing, I think there'll be some changes. Yeah. There'll be a little bit more coordination in his campaign and the message coming out of it. All right. Thank you, Marshall.
God bless you guys.
All right. Thanks, Marshall.
Yep. Appreciate you being out there. Let's go to John. John, thank you for calling tonight. I just have a little over a minute, so if we don't get all of you in, we'll have to hold you through the break. But thanks for calling.
Right. Mike, how are you? I got a new word for you, man, because what they're upset about, all in that beltway there, they're all about political correctness. That's how they speak. That's how their tone is.
Correct.
Trump speaks with vernacular freedom.
With what?
Conacular, like conacular freedom.
Conacular freedom. Conacular.
Wait a second. That contest was last week, John.
I know, but I just thought that would.
But there might be a prize for you later today. We'll see.
No, he's the winner.
Oh, then he gets to do something like that.
Yeah,
outstanding,
right.
John.
Yeah.
And they don't build mosques; they build masks because it hides all the evil they do inside.
That's
Whoa.
A good way to put it, too.
That was that would be a good bumper sticker.
I tell you what. Yes, wow. sirree.
Yep.
Hey, John, you're on fire tonight.
He is. I mean, look at this guy rolling it out.
I tell you what. Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate you. All right, we got another half hour to go. Don't forget, Larry Elder comes on after us, and the Rays pregame show is not till about 8:30, 8:40. So you'll get a good sample. If you've not listened yet to Larry Elder, please do. This guy's right on. And we'll be right back.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
All right, away we go with the last half hour of tonight's show. Can't believe we've already got an hour and a half in the can tonight.
Chris, did you know that Hacksaw is actually doing nightclub shows now?
Yeah,
you in all seriousness, and he's doing great. Yeah, I mean, they're paying him well, and he has every wrestling story in the world, and, you know, some of them are just so hilarious.
Plus, he can make those faces.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no character like this guy. He's the best.
That's one thing that makes De Niro such a great actor.
Yeah,
is the faces that he makes. Okay, welcome
You would
back.
Think Michelle Obama would be a good actor.
Well, speaking of Michelle.
Oh, that's right. There is something
speaking
about
of Michelle
her.
Obama, while all this stuff has been sucking the... So one thing that the media is happy about with Trump and this judge thing is it's taken all of the sting out of that jobs report.
Oh, Chris, right? Did you see that?
Which came out Friday.
38,000 jobs created. And, you know, this has been like 7.5 years of just economic disaster. There's 94.7 million people not working in our labor force. It's just terrible.
You'll like this. I was watching CNBC and going through the news channels Friday morning when the jobs numbers came out and ran across. I guess this guy, he went on CNBC. He was on either MSNBC or CNN. Right. I can't remember which. Anyway, he's an economist. I don't remember his name. But he was saying that this unemployment number of now 4.7.
But you know that's so phony. Right.
He was saying that that indicates that we're at the peak of the economic cycle.
I don't think so.
Given the Obama economy, we probably are at the peak.
Well,
this is as good as it's going to get.
Well, let me tell you, in all seriousness, if Hillary's elected or Bernie, which Bernie won't, he's going to lose, but the reality of it is this probably is the peak.
Yeah.
I mean, because how can you generate a better economy? Of course, she'll raise taxes. She'll create more regulations. The Obamacare, she'll follow that to the end, and the end isn't too far off. There's going to be such massive economic disconnect. It's over. And let me tell you, I mean, I'm looking to see who gets elected for some, major business decisions. You know, if I think it's Hillary, I'm going the other way. I'm going to get a lot more liquid.
Yeah, that's for sure. But anyway, Michelle Obama, while all this other stuff is going on, and once again, the Trump thing is, and of course, the media is only too happy to use this judge thing as a reason not to cover, the jobs number and this quote by Michelle Obama. And Nick, can you give us Michelle Obama's quote? And we don't usually use sound bites, but we just got to use Michelle's own words with this. So let us have it, please. It's about a minute long.
It's the story that I witness every single day. When I wake up in a house that was built by slaves, and I watch my daughters, two beautiful black young women, head off to school, waving goodbye to their father, the President of the United States, the son of a man from Kenya who came here to America for the same reasons as many of you, to get an education and improve his prospects in life. So graduates, while I think it's fair to say that our founding fathers never could have imagined this day, all of you are very much the fruits of their vision. Their legacy is very much your legacy and your inheritance. And don't let anybody tell you differently. You are the living, breathing proof that the American dream endures in our time. It's you.
Chris, I always wonder when I hear that statement, who were the architects and who were the engineers and who financed the White House during that period?
I thought it was the Masons and the Illuminati.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
That, right?
And I would bet that her faxers, I'll bet you they're close to at least 80% wrong. I would bet the White House was not entirely built by slaves in any way possible.
Well, let's just put it this way.
It's a nice story, but you know.
Yeah, she sort of ended on an up note there, but you know, it's an awkward way of saying that the United States and that our founding fathers, as she said, that they couldn't imagine what that day. They very well did. They imagined that the United States would undergo tremendous change. That's why they wrote the Constitution the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree.
So, you know, it may not have been that they could envision it, but they did imagine that great changes and great things would come of the United States. And by the way, those founding fathers were not big proponents of slavery. They did everything that they could to end slavery at the Constitutional Convention. And then provided for a way to end it later on.
I mean, Lincoln Republican, right?
And guess who got in
mm-hmm.
the way?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You remember the Dred Scott decision?
Yes, I do.
All right. It was a bunch of federal judges,
mm-hmm.
Supreme Court judges,
right.
who decided that human beings could be owned, could be considered property. Oh, there's those judges again. Those doggone,
I bet you they were
rascally
biased,
judges.
Biased by their upbringing, don't you think?
No, they couldn't have been. They're federal judges.
They can't be. How could you question a judge?
See, when you get
you
to
shouldn't
be,
even be doing that now, Chris.
That's you're right. And Rick agrees with you. Let's see what Rick has to say about it. Rick, thank you for calling.
I never agree with much of what you say because I think it's a lot of BS, but that's besides the point. You know, I just think that your foolishness is running your own party into a ditch. You will see in November why. Why do you think Farrakhan, David Duke, that miserable Ann Coulter and Ted Nugent and all the scum of the earth support this nonsense? If you want to bring people into the party, what you're doing is repelling them. Muslims,
I don't know. A guy that can bring Louis Farrakhan and Ted Nugent together on anything seems to me to be a unifier if ever there was one.
I don't understand Farrakhan. I understand the other people. They're a bunch of racist bigots. But you're just propelling people. That's all you're doing. You're sucked into this nonsense.
No, we're not.
Not at all. It's the economics of it.
What we're doing is giving people a realistic description of what is going on, and that's why you listen to the show, Rick. You've been listening to the show for ages.
I know.
And you know that we're going to tell it the way we see it, and that's what we're doing. But by the way, as far as the Republican Party goes, they're the ones who've gotten themselves into this mess, if you want to call it a mess, by being a bunch of, what that guy called a little while ago, linguine spine, mm-hmm. you know, good for nothings.
I'll take Gary Johnson over any of them.
Well, that's okay with me. Because more Democrats are going to vote for him than Republicans.
At least the guy, I'm not sure about that.
According to the SurveyMonkey NBC poll, that is the case. When you put just Trump against Hillary, Hillary leads Trump by 4 points. When you include the Libertarian candidates, Trump leads Hillary by 1 point.
Even though he wants to do away with Social Security, which I disagree with him.
I have not heard him say that at all.
Well,
so,
Gary Johnson, I'm talking about.
Oh, Gary Johnson. Yeah, right. Yes, you're right. He wants to privatize Social Security. Yeah.
And yeah. I'm for partial, but not fully privatized.
Yeah.
But I think you're just driving your party into a ditch and you don't realize it.
No.
I think Paul Ryan and a few of the other people, Mitch McConnell, have been smarter about this whole thing.
I don't. And my indication of that is when he comes out and he buys into the reporter's assertion that what Trump has done is a quote-unquote textbook example of racism.
Well, it is,
and then
but then
turns around and says, but I'm still going to support him. I mean, that to me, you've just put yourself in the stupid box, right? All right, Rick, thanks for calling, though. I appreciate you listening.
Chris, you know, two things will drive a nation, in all seriousness, out of business. One's national debt and a weak military, right?
That's it.
I mean, that is it. That's why I am voting Republican. And it wouldn't matter to me if it was Trump or Mr. Stump. I don't care. I vote the principles in the sense of, and again, I'm pragmatic. They don't have to be perfect. But reality is, as we open up the borders, our debt is going to just capitulate higher and higher and higher. And then here comes the real problem. Our military gets weaker and weaker with all these mass destructive weapons that we're not going to make it. So, you know, I'm going to vote for I call the economics of keeping our nation alive.
Let's just put it this way. When the Southern Baptist Convention decides to help build mosques here in the United States,
it may be getting close.
We have got to take extraordinary measures to correct this here situation.
And remember, your name is Abdul the Tool, so you are certainly going to be able to do some research work on this.
Mike is up next. Mike, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Hey, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to point out that the math used by Democrats is very interesting. And when Michelle Obama was talking about the White House thing, I started figuring some stuff out. And, you know, there's 400 years of slavery, right? But Columbus got here in 1492. So 400 plus 1492 would be 1892. So actually, slavery ended. We became a republic technically in 1789 with the Constitution. So 48 years later, we had slavery abolished.
Right.
88 years later.
Right.
And nobody ever gets mad at the Portuguese, the Dutch, the British, the French for the slave trade that they created. It's all our fault.
Well,
we're the Muslims.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
I was going to say, actually,
the Muslims are the biggest perpetuators
of slavery. Absolutely.
Yeah, back then, the Muslims were the biggest perpetuators of it. And then, of course, you had blacks enslaving one another in Africa.
Right.
Exactly. But also, one of the first slaves from the New World was guys like Squanto. He was taken by the British back and sold into slavery back in Europe, and then he learned Spanish and English, and he makes his way back to North America. And when the pilgrims got here, he said, "Hey, you got any beer in English?" You know, if you know the story, it's like it defies any kind of credibility. And every time I hear Rick talk, it's like, oh, God, I feel like I'm having a stroke. I need to eat some Tums because I'm about to hurl. This guy is so intellectually challenged that it hurts just to listen to him speak. But anyway, you guys are the bomb. So.
All right. Well, thank you.
Rick, do you have any beer? That can't be a true story.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely a true story.
Well, that guy should be using Budweiser as.
Absolutely.
Do you have any beer? That's great.
Sam Adams. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you being out there.
Can you imagine that? I'd have said, do you have any absolute?
All right. We got a contest Thursday coming up. Mike's come up with another good one. Once again, we're trying to address the needs of our audience out there. We know a lot of you are dissatisfied with the choices between Hillary and Trump. Even with the libertarians thrown in, you're not particularly thrilled about the situation. So as sort of a remedy, if you will, a salve your wounded soul,
we're going to do a nationwide or a worldwide search for our leaders. We've decided we got to go outside of the country.
Outside the box.
You can go to any country you want. You can choose any type of profession. My two leaders were my president. I'm going to go with Vladimir Putin. This is a tough guy. This is a guy that won't put up with anything. He's a guy that certainly knows how to work the edges. But the main thing is, though, and the real reason I'm going to go with him, he'll steal less money than the Clintons. So he's my presidential candidate. My vice president, which is to keep him in line, will be Clint Eastwood.
Yep.
Because he's an ultra conservative. He's a guy that certainly will explain his case anytime he feels like it very accurately. And he also carries a 45. And if Putin gets out of line, they make my day, baby. So that's going to be my president and vice presidential candidate. So maybe, they'll do well this year.
That old movie Magnum Force was just on TV.
Really?
I watched a few minutes of it.
That's great. But that would be a neat combination.
I never could get used to Tyne Daly, though.
Something about
that actress. Anyway, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about a local issue that's come to our attention.
Oh, yeah, that was that, really
we're going to be keeping our eye on this one because this just ain't right. And we'll talk about that on the other side of the American Adversaries. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Christopher Hart here along with Mike McBath, and we're rapidly coming toward the end of the show. Here in just a few minutes, we'll give you the final poll tally on who you folks think is going to win the California Democratic primary tonight. In the meantime, we have VJ on the line. VJ, thank you for calling.
Yes, Hi, Chris, and hello.
Hi, VJ.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just was listening to about some of the comments about the slavery. I mean, I come from India. I came here in 71. I went to school here, and praise God, you know, I took some degrees and worked for NASA for 25 years. What I'm trying to say is not about my glory, but the country has given the opportunity whoever wants to work for. We, India was under almost not like slavery like over here, but under the rule of British rule for 200 years. Before that, 450 years of Muslim rule, 700 some years, just like that.
Yep.
But India got the independence and the people moved on. Indians are all over the world and they are rising as a community everywhere.
That's
the
true.
People over here, the black leaders have done the biggest disservice they can do. And what is this that they keep reminding the young people about the slavery. And they keep doing this to their own time. You know, it's just amazing how they have done the biggest disservice to these younger generations, that they are raised with this kind of mindset that the country owes you something, and they have gone through this big, slavery thing. Of course, it happened, and let's move on. But it never happened. And this is what the curse is upon this black community on this country. It really is. I call it curse. There are not enough people who can, in black community, who can, like Reggie Jackson or this guy in New York, they're all the same way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's sad. It really is sad.
It is, because it's they're eating themselves up with resentment and hatred, and it is. It's destroying them from within. This is the whole purpose of forgiveness. You let go of these things that will destroy you from within. And they have not done that. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, well, it's more politically, because they want to capitalize the power over the black community. And this is the problem.
Yep.
Look at this. We walk from the airport when we land in with a little suitcase or a little briefcase or something. We work hard, two jobs, three jobs or whatever. And within 4 years, we own the houses and we do the businesses and all kinds of stuff. People, not only Indians, Koreans, Japanese, you'd call about any immigrant, any from anywhere. But how come the black people, and trust me, the slavery is gone, but they are going to be slaves for a long, long time to come by their own thinking and thoughts, by the way they think about themselves.
VJ, who do you think
of their own thinking?
Who do you think is going to, who has enslaved them in this country? I think we know, right? You answered the question.
Yeah.
Their own leaders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're own leaders.
Not even debatable. Look at Chicago. Look at Detroit. Look at Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I dare say they've done it in a more insidious.
Their own people.
They've done it in a more insidious fashion,
right,
too. They've enslaved them with their minds rather than with chains. Yeah. Right?
You
can break chains. It's hard to break.
And economically, they enslave them by these constant. I'll give you a little of this. I'll give you a little bit of that, and they just get into that mindset, and they just can't get out.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's their own problem.
They're enslaved with a mindset.
Yep.
Hey, VJ, excellent call.
That was
I appreciate
great call,
it.
Thank
VJ.
You,
sir.
Thank you.
Great testimonial.
Great testimonial. Thank you so much for being there for us. We really appreciate it.
But isn't that a great story of, hey, I came here with a suitcase, I'm going to work, and then I just rise from there.
Yep.
And, if everybody would stop blaming somebody else and blame themselves, you would see a lot more progression in this country, that's for sure.
Indeed.
But we have those, the Bernie Sanders and them out there selling a fairy tale.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed we do. I wanted to spend a little bit more time talking about this, but we'll be talking about this a little bit more as the weeks go. But many of you folks who've lived in Orlando a long time know about the Russell Home, right? The Russell Home is a home for it started out for children with genetic defects, and the Russell family took these children in and took care of these children. Many of these children are now grown up and in their 40s and 50 years old, and they still take in children who are suffering from these afflictions that the parents can't afford or just can't take care of them. And the Russell Home is being threatened by being put out of business because someone complained that they didn't have the proper licensing. And it turns out that they don't have the proper licensing, because the proper licensing for what they now do does not exist. The situation is that in a home, in a care facility like this, you can take care of adults or you can take care of children, but you cannot take care of both. Well, they take care of both, and they've been doing this for a long time. I don't know about you, Mike, with the NFL. I know you guys are doing charity things all the mm-hmm, time, but I know mm-hmm. many, many organizations in this town have done charity benefits for the Russell home.
No, I'm very familiar with the name, and I think what they're doing, fortunately, we are seeing articles out there in the newspaper on this issue. I know, you know, we've discussed it, and, this is something that's going to have to be embraced and done with the help of the city or a politician and get this thing done. Because, you know, they make it sound so complicated when actually it isn't. We just need somebody that has the power to resolve the problem and get it done.
This is an instance of the stupidity of government regulations.
Right.
They should come up with a solution to this problem, and it needs to be done right now. The state is threatening them with $1,000 a day fine if they continue doing
what they're doing.
Can't do that. The problem is these people who, and these are people.
Right.
Who live in this
real
place,
people.
Right? That these great folks take care of over there. What's going to happen to them if the Russell home closes? Where will they go? Oh, we'll just send them to another place. Oh, so you're going to take a person who is in, let's just say, a more fragile condition than the normal person, who's been in a familiar environment for their entire lives, and because of a bunch of bureaucratic BS, you're going to force this human being, this loving individual, to go to an entirely alien environment to them. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a real compassionate thing for them, isn't it? I mean, at some point, government has to understand that it's there to help the people.
You need a personal touch.
Right, exactly. You know, there's an old episode of the Andy Griffith Show where Andy arrests a newspaper owner because he didn't pay his fine. He didn't come through town. He got a speeding ticket and he didn't pay it, right? So Andy goes and arrests him. So he sicks this reporter to go to Mayberry to find some dirt on Andy. And so she sits down and she talks with Barney, right? And so she gets some dirt from Barney and she goes back and they write this nasty story and it gets Andy in a lot of trouble. And they end up having this official hearing in the courthouse. They temporarily suspend Andy from being a sheriff. And they get Barney Fife on the stand. Barney doesn't know that he's the key witness, right? So they call the key witness, and it's Barney Fife. And they get him on the stand. Did you say all these things? And he finally has to admit, yes, I said them. He said, but you got to understand, he's the sheriff of a small town. He's here to help the people in this town. And he said, there's one thing that he's tried to teach me ever since I've been a deputy for him. And he says, and that's when it comes to the law, sometimes you need to go by the heart and not so much by the book.
Isn't that a great phrase, though,
in this case, these doggone good-for-nothing politicians, and I'm talking about all of them from both sides of the aisle, need to get together. And if they need to call a goddamn special session to address this problem, call a special session.
Get it done.
This is ridiculous. The Russell home does God's work, and they need to have our support. We're going to continue to follow this story and talk about it more and more. We don't usually get involved in local stuff, but this warrants our attention.
And we have a mole, so we know what's going on.
Yeah, we do. We're watching this very carefully, and we're going to try and perhaps get some folks from the Russell home, if they will, to be on the show. But if you can, please voice your support in some way for the Russell home. They need it. They need us right now. And they've been doing great work, and they're there to help people. It's time we step up and help them. Please, Russell home. All right. Thanks for listening. By the way, Nick, we have a final tally.
86% Bernie Sanders.
Whoa,
will
the
win
burn
tonight.
Is still burning.
All right. We'll
All
see
right.
What
That's great,
tonight.
Nick. Okay. We will see.
We'll be back tomorrow.
I might be asleep by then.
Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.